Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Well, if you have been living under a rock, everyone, to the listeners, but I finally have gotten the chance to pin him down and learn more about what he's been up to in this wonderful profession. Dr. Jimmy Barr, or James Barr, is in the house, and we want to thank our friends from Antech Diagnostics for supporting this great conversation. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's our honor and our pleasure. And usually I do a bio, and I think many of the listeners may not know where you currently are. Or they may know where you previously were. So share with us like the couple of minutes on like, what have you been up to? Where are you now?
Yeah, sure. So I've got a new job. So which is fantastic for me. And, you know, gives me a great outlet to explore and do more different things in veterinary medicine. So I'm currently the Chief Medical Officer of Mars Science and Diagnostics, and the Science and Diagnostics division. Most people are familiar with Antech. I spend most of my time with Antech, but we also encompass the Waltham Pet Care Institute, Antech Imaging Services, Whistle, the Wisdom Panel. There's lots of things that's not just Antech that are composed of Mars Science and Diagnostics, and the at home part is an interesting part of my role. I was with Blue Pearl for a number of years. Yes. Really loved working with them, I'm going to cheer them on from this side of the fence. So still within the Mars group. So I'm happy to be here, and happy to contribute in a different way.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I didn't even know that there was all those divisions within the Mars Science and Diagnostics umbrella. So that's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it's a lot of fun to get to learn about these different things. It's for me personally, intellectually, it's really fun to kind of get into a lot of the science that sort of underpins a lot of the things that we take for granted a little. Right. So getting to kind of get back into that and be part of the innovation story is great personally for me.
Yeah. And what does that mean to you, like as a CMO, when you see all these significant investments that are being made in the industry? What does that look like to you from your perspective with all the innovation and research going on?
Yeah, boy, it's exceptionally exciting. I often say I feel like I'm living in the future, Adam. I mean, it's just one of these things where, thinking back to, me graduating from vet school, I tracked mixed, I wanted to be James Herriot at the time. And, seeing the kind of the arc of what our profession has been over that time is really incredible. And so being able to kind of be part of that innovation story is a lot of fun for me. I'm not the brains behind the operation. There's a lot of really smart people that, that have that sort of thing that they want to ask the question in a different way. They want to approach problems in a different way, and I'm really envious of that, and that particular aspect of it. But I'm really happy to be there and kind of be part of that. So for me personally, it's extremely gratifying to be able to to be a part of that. And solve problems, problems that we have. I'm a clinically focused person, and always have been. And so if it doesn't solve a clinical problem, then we don't do it.
Right. And I think of, the Antech and Mars philosophy together, and that must be so powerful in terms of what's driving innovation in veterinary medicine forward. So to the listeners, right, what do you see as that philosophy that's really making it move the needle forward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, fundamentally, I feel very fortunate to kind of be part of a principle-based organization, just in general, right? I mean, it's a lot of fun when you can think about 50 years in the future and not, not like the immediacy of things. I mean, so our focus is on the horizon. Mm-hmm. We have a very simple mandate. Like, our simple mandate is to make a better world for pets. And so that's done in a number of different ways. But from a perspective of you know, philosophically how we approach it, it's practical, right? So it's a practical approach to, you know, having the pet parent and the veterinary professional at the center of the problem that we're trying to solve, and think about the problem that we're trying to solve, not a solution that we came up with, right? So, you know, I've seen a ton of really great solutions to problems that no one has, right? So, you know, if you keep at the sort of the center, you know, that relationship, you know, the human animal bond, what can we do to sort of help that? What can we do to, you know, tighten the bond within the veterinarian and the pet parent? You know, how can we make things more efficient? You know, that kind of thing. When you think about it in that way, it becomes, you know, the filter of great ideas, you know, gets filtered down to something that really will be impactful. And that's really interesting for me. And, you know, that mandate, you know, of a better world for pets is something that, you know, we take seriously and think about a lot. And so when you think about that, it, you know, decisions come relatively easy. You know, is this going to make a better world for pets? You know, are we going to be able to move the needle? And if we are, then great. If not, then, you know, it's another great idea that maybe we can save for the time when the time's right.
Yeah. And just because I'm familiar with the Antech portfolio personally, I know that when I practice, I love that there's this a more proactive approach to healthcare that we know, and also artificial intelligence that's being used as well. Yeah. So I'll name a few examples that I know. I know the Nu.Q cancer test. I think that's phenomenal, and I know that there's the AIS rapid read. And then there's the key screen. So do you mind just sharing us a little bit about those?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, those are really interesting things. I mean, I think about, you know, when you think about what, you know, what diagnostics can bring to us. I mean, they're fundamentally data to kind of help us make decisions, right? Help us have conversations with clients. And, you know, you mentioned key screen at first. I mean, key screen is an amazing advancement. You know, I think about key screen a lot in the sense, I mean, it's a PCR based parasite detection tool, right? And so, meaning it is extremely precise, extremely sensitive. It's got the ability to be able to detect, you know, below what we would normally consider to be, you know, the thresholds for, you know, a normal fecal flotation, for instance. Yeah. Right? So we can, if we're looking for it in the specific instance, you know, it's really good at being able to determine, you know, whether or not it's a presence or absence, and, you know, better than a fecal float. I mean, and even better than a fecal float that's done properly, right? You and I both know, having been in practice, you know, fecal floats are oftentimes, you know, they're sitting on a counter, you know, by the, you know, in the lab slip. And the, yeah, with the cover slip on top, right? So, or with the, you know, the slide on top, then you have the cover slip on it, and, you know, it's not done, you know, appropriately. So the performance of this test is just better, but the richness of the information that is delivered is goes beyond just the presence or absence of parasites, right? So it actually gives you information about, whether or not there's drug resistance, right? You know, for hookworms, which is amazing. You know, benzimidazole resistance is a thing we've recognized and published on. And, you know, that kind of helps us and to think a little bit differently with parasite medications, anti-parasiticides or parasiticides, you know, and being a little more judicious with their use. I mean, it's the same principle as, you know, as antibiotic resistance and sort of the selection pressure that's going on with that. The same sort of thing happens with that. So we know that we can identify that. And then there's the whole, there's the characterization of Giardia a little bit further, right? So that where we can tell that, well, these ones are more likely to be zoonotic, than, you know, the others. So we kind of have this idea of the zoonotic potential, which is helpful in having conversations about whether or not we want to, you know, provide a therapy for that in some of these patients. I mean, my own dog had Giardia, although that we found on key screen, but it was not, he was not clinical for it. And he was also not, it wasn't the zoonotic sort. So anyway, it's the richness of the information that we are getting. It's just helping us make better decisions. And key screen's a perfect example of that. And the PCR technology that we developed has so many other opportunities for being used in different contexts that, I'm excited about what's going to come from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Key Screen's amazing. Yeah.
Key Screen. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really incredible. And yeah. Rapid Read is another one that you see, enveloping and embracing that artificial intelligence out there.
Sure. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know about you, Adam, but whenever I think about artificial intelligence, I kind of go from one time where I'm exceptionally excited about the possibilities of how it can help things. And I also am scared that the machines are going to take over like on Terminator. Right. So I'm personally have this, this part about artificial intelligence that is a little bit, I'm kind of a naturally relatively skeptical person, but when it comes to artificial intelligence, the key when thinking about that is not about what it's going to replace, but what it's going to add to you and how it's going to help you make decisions. I think of Rapid Read as being a, decision support tool. The incredible thing about it is it points out stuff that you might have overlooked. It's when you think about cognitive biases, the humans have a lot of those. Machines, computers do not, right? So the algorithm will look through the images without any of those biases, and it finds spots that you may not have even seen, and so it'll call your attention to it, and that will then prompt you to look into that further. So for you to interpret that, or it may be that you're like, okay, well, this now is, I want to be sure about this situation. Well, let me have a radiologist actually, look at it. And you can click a button and it will send it to a radiologist to be able to look at, and so those types of things are exceptionally helpful because it's not going to replace our eyes on doing it. You are still responsible for making sort of the clinical decision associated with that. But it does help call your attention to things that I think are really helpful. I don't know, as a veterinarian, I kind of like to be able to, feel like I'm in control of that. And I don't think that it has any of the sort of situations where you can, things that will happen beyond your control, right? This is the kind of a thing that it will give you information that's going to be additive to you making decisions in the case. And so, Rapid Read is pretty incredible. The thing that I think is, it's as it stands right now is an amazing technology, but is only going to get better, right? So our team of radiologists are helping to kind of train that over time. So if we think it's smart now, what's it going to be in 5 years, right? Whenever it's had that time, to train? So it's only going to get better and iterate and improve over time. So to help us make decisions for our patients. So, yeah.
I was just talking to a veterinarian this week, actually. And she uses this, and she's a one doctor show. And she said to me, it's like having an AI mentor for radiology. And it's she just needs either peace of mind or just to know if she should consult with a radiologist. Yep. And she says it's such a great tool. And it was just so nice to hear that, how, a lot of us are embracing and accepting and respecting the AI. It's not replacing. It's just another tool for, radiology interpretation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the key, the key part. I mean, we've all been in situations where we, put x-rays up and be like, boy, is this. Is this bulldog radiograph? Is this normal? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. And having another sort of opinion there to kind of help you be like, it's normal. And that gives you a peace of mind. That's really helpful.
It really is. And I love proactive approach to healthcare. I think it's the new normal, honestly. And we talk a lot about individualized care in veterinary medicine versus it just kind of going to where the client's needs are with the high risk breed dogs, for instance, and, you know, golden retrievers and boxers and so forth. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the that great new Q cancer test that's, you know, they're saying it's rapid, accurate, targeted. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, new Q is another amazing technology. You know, we partner with Volition to bring new Q into the clinic, right? So in a an immunoassay platform called LMNI Plus, which is, is another, you know, again, I feel like I'm living in the future when I'm talking about this, right? So it detects nucleosomes, right? So which are, you know, DNA and how they're sort of packaged up and sort of intertwined around histones. Nucleosomes are, you know, they're supposed to be inside of a cell, right? So when they're found outside of the cell, that's problematic. And that happens with some regularity in a number of different disease states. It's not just cancer. But if you have a patient that seems overall healthy, that doesn't seem sick and, you know, at all, and you're sort of doing a routine wellness screening, and the new Q, you know, if you run that, that should prompt you to look deeper into that case, right? And, you know, there are times, and it's pretty good at being able to detect hemangiosarcoma and lymphoma, you know, two of the most common, you know, things. And so it kind of begs the question of like, okay, if I had a 8-year-old golden retriever, would I want to know sooner rather than later if we need to kind of proactively do something? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. I mean, I do think it's one of those situations where, excuse me, that, you know, finding it sooner, you know, will hopefully lead to sort of better outcomes and allow you to kind of be able to, you know, to make decisions before a hemoabdomen occurs, like for instance, right? I mean, that's something that is, you know, I mean, we've all experienced that. And so, you know, the new Q is, it prompts you to ask another question. It's not going to be the only thing that you use to make decisions, right? I'm not sure, you know, you wouldn't start chemotherapy with a new Q, you know, positive, you know, result, but it will prompt you to then start to say, okay, well, this is a case that we really need to look into. You don't have any other, you know, inflammatory diseases, or they haven't been hit by a car today or something like that, that would cause tissue damage. If you got in a situation like that and that new Q elevation or new Q value is high, that should prompt you to look deeper. And that's, and it's a pretty inexpensive test. It's in clinic. It's very, it's accurate. You know, we're very excited about the possibilities. We're gathering a lot of data to figure out, you know, how can we segment populations and so that we feel very good about, you know, where it is and that sort of thing. And about meaning, you know, can we prognosticate with it? Can we not, you know, does it sort of correlate with, you know, disease burden, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, there are lots of sort of work that we have ongoing, but more to come. It's a great test that we're excited about.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. Yeah. So speaking of more to come, I'm curious to get your perspective on the innovation moving forward with the portfolio that you have within the company. So, you know, what are some of the things that you're most looking forward to, say, in the next 6 months to a year, or even 5 years for that matter?
Yeah, boy. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes I can't believe the things that we sort of have going. I mean, you know, just to sort of give you some ideas about, we have, you know, I mean, expect more in the artificial intelligence world, right? Sometimes like not even related to, you know, radiographs. I mean, we've got a lot of ongoing work when it comes to that, you know, specifics of yet, you know, kind of be to be talked about. But we've got a lot of ongoing work. You know, we've got things that augment our strategies, you know, overarching strategies for Mars Petcare that would support things like antimicrobial stewardship, stuff like that, that are actually going to be supportive of that. You know, we're going to have some broadening depth and breadth, updating of our infectious disease panels, things like that, that are going to be happening in the next next few years. And then, you know, we've got the machinery and the wizardry of the Waltham Pet Science Institute, right? Yeah. You know, that's a part of, you know, Mars Science and Diagnostics. And, you know, they're into discovery, you know, and they discover things all the time. And so, you know, we're looking forward to taking some of that stuff that they discover and kind of moving that into the practical aspects and being able to use that. So, you know, who knows? We may be talking about something, you know, completely different in 5 years' time. I can't believe how rapidly the progression has sort of gone and over the last several years. And, you know, 5 years from now, it'll be completely different. We'll be having, you know, we'll be laughing about, remember when we couldn't, you know, detect cancer, you know? Yeah.
The portfolio that, to your point, that Mars Science, Diagnostics, and Tech, they have, it's really the nucleus and foundation of everything that we do every day. No matter whether you're in GP, specialty practice, the fact that you have science, you have the data, technology, and how the services can help all of us in the profession predict, I'm thinking prediction, diagnosis, monitoring, wellness, disease. I mean, like, it's covering it all, the breadth. So it is an exciting time. This is what I would say to the vet students. Like, you are entering in a great time in this profession.
I am so excited about it. I mean, it's such a great time to be in this profession, don't you think? I mean,
it really is.
You just got so much to do. I mean, you know, it can be overwhelming sometimes. There's a lot of stuff coming at us. But, you know, picking the spots that add value to you, you know, and using that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of tools now that just, that in my view, help us practice that sort of art of medicine more than, you know, the nuts and bolts and, you know, all those kinds of things that we did way back in the day. Yeah. So, it's an amazing time to be, you know, to be a part.
It is. And I love that you said it. It is an art of medicine. And then when you have a portfolio like this to, like, almost like shop and choose, like, what's, you know, I don't know. It's just a very great holistic approach to pet care. Something that I didn't get a chance to do when I first started practicing to where we are now. And I'm just excited to see what the future holds with where we're heading, because it's going in such a great direction with that. So, I feel like,
I know that
the carousel of progress for Antech, and we're just moving forward to see. Progress looks like.
I mean, it's exciting to be a part of, and you know, it's, and I love talking about it, so I appreciate you having me on and kind of doing it. But it's, you know, more than anything, Adam, it's just a way in which we can kind of meet pet owners where they are, you know, meet veterinarians where they are, you know, make good decisions, you know, and have rich data that we put in context and can then make good decisions with our patients. And that's what it's all about. And so I'm really excited to see what's going to come in the future.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much, Dr. Barr. And where can the listeners learn more about Antech?
Go to antechdiagnostics.com and stay tuned to all the social channels, and there'll be more to come in the weeks to months coming forward.
Excellent. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. Again, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for all the great work that you do in our profession, Dr. Barr. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow it. And thank you to our friends at Antech for supporting this great conversation. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.